We're going to see the King. A note of triumph and victory in that song. Welcome to everyone here today. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad for everyone here and trust as we continue the service that we can be blessed as we look into the Word of God. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, here in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, we have the seven feasts outlined that were feasts of the Old Testament, the Old Law. And I'd like to take a look at the first four and see how they're connected. The first four feasts, the first three were simultaneous, and then the fourth one, which was the day of Pentecost, was connected to the Feast of First Fruits, and so there was a connection there as well. And these were feasts that were done in the spring, and the rest of the feasts then were done in the fall. The Feast of Pentecost was a summertime feast, but the rest were then all done in the fall. And so as we read the New Testament, we come across a lot of Old Testament language that is difficult for us to understand unless we understand the Old Testament. And so that's one of the reasons I'm giving this, is to help us to understand what's being taught in the New Testament, because these things are mentioned a number of times, many times over in the New Testament, and it's they're teaching us a lesson, and we can generally get the idea of what's being taught, but as we understand the old, it makes it even, it puts an extra dimension to it there. I'm going to read beginning in verse 4. The first three verses are concerning the Sabbath, and then reading through from verse 4 on down through the 22nd verse. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And so that was the 14th day. You know, they took the lamb out on the 10th day and observed it till the 14th day. And the 14th day it was slain. That was the Passover that evening. And then on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so that was simultaneous with the Feast of the Passover. And this was a seven-day feast. And it started on the feast on the Passover and went for 7 days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so that's why you have it used interchangeably in the Gospels. Some places it says the Passover, other places it says the feast, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread, and the first day you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So that's now the first Feast of First Fruits. And so I drew a little diagram here. I know you probably can't read it from back there. But the Feast of the Passover and the Unleavened Bread started on the same day. And then the Unleavened Bread lasted for 7 days. And then you had the Resurrection, of course, on the Lord's Day on Sunday morning, which was the day after the Sabbath. And so the Resurrection took place here, and was on the day of the Resurrection was the Feast of First Fruits. And I'm going to go to the New Testament here just to give you an example of what I'm talking about when I say Old Testament language being used in the New Testament and how it helps us to understand what the writer is talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, he's there talking to the Corinthian church about some of the things that they have allowed to creep in, and he's telling them you need to do something about it. And he's saying in verses 7 and 8, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now, you see the connection? Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, and it was also the first day of unleavened bread. And so he's using that to teach a lesson here, that the old leaven needs to be purged out. And the 7 days of unleavened bread is a picture of the Christian having brought his sins to the cross. The blood is applied, the Passover is done, and our sins are under the blood. And then it's time for a new walk, a walk of victory, a walk of new life, and a walk of fruitfulness. And so you see the connection that he's making here. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And then going to the 15th chapter. Now, the Feast of First Fruits coincided with the resurrection of Christ. And we see it coming here now in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 20. Verses 20 and through 23. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And so the resurrection happened on the day of the Feast of First Fruits. And so he is again using language here that the Jews understood very well, but we don't understand as well because we are not used to observing the law like they were. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming." And so what we get a picture of here is both in the situation in the world of that time as well as in our own personal lives, that after a time of darkness, after a long, cold winter, new life emerges. And that's the way it was. That was the contrast between the Old Testament and the New. The Old Testament, yes, we have testimonies of victory of God's people, but generally we have a history of failure of God's people, time and time again, how that they failed God and how they had to be punished and brought back again through God's judgment and punishment for their wrongdoings. The church age, yes, we also have apostasy and things taking place in the church age, but the emphasis in the New Testament and in the church age is the victory of the gospel over evil and over the forces of the world, over Satan, and how that Christianity, true Christianity, is victorious and it's fruitful and it blesses people. And so that's one of the significant things about the first fruits. In the first chapter of James, maybe I should just read it so I don't misquote it. James chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so he begat us by the word of his truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Something, someone that can be like Job, where God can say, "Have you seen my servant?" And that our life and our testimony will be such that we'll bring glory to God as people observe. And as we, I'll read about the Feast of First Fruits, and you'll see there that there was sacrifice connected with it, but there was also a waving of the first fruits to depict the testimony of those who have come out of that long barren winter and have begun to bear fruit. The Feast of First Fruits, they were to bring the first barley of the year, and it was this happened, of course, in the month of April, and so it was not complete yet. It was not completely ripe, but it was. They were to bring that before they ate any of it, and to bring it as an offering to the Lord. And then later on at Pentecost, 7 weeks later, is when the grain was ripe for harvest. trying to see here where I left off. Verse 10. I'll start in verse 11. "And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." And of course, the morrow after the Sabbath is the Lord's day. It's the day of resurrection. It's the day. It talks about the resurrection of in our life, the new birth experience, that when we are born again, we begin to bear fruit immediately, even though it may not be a mature fruit, yet it's fruit. And it needs to be dedicated to the Lord, and we need to see evidence of it. He says that he is to wave it. It says, "He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord." And that talks about our testimony. Immediately after a person is born again, their life changes. And we begin to have a testimony that's going to be glorifying to God. And we quit being a question mark and we start being an exclamation point for the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here in this type. "And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be two tenths deals of fine flour mingled with oil." And this meat offering, when it uses that term meat offering in the Old Testament, it's actually talking about fruits or grains. And so it's talking about our fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit should be in evidence in our lives immediately after conversion. It's a meal mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Okay, so that's the Feast of First Fruits, and begins on the Sabbath. It begins on the day of resurrection. The day that Christ was resurrected would have been the day that they would observe the Feast of First Fruits. And then in verse 15, he begins here to talk about the Feast of Pentecost. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from that day ye shall... that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." And that would have been 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. By that time, the grain was ripe, and it was kind of like a harvest festival. "Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenths deals that shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year. and of one young bullock and two rams, they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, which their, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And they and ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. And so, speaking about our Christian testimony, a person who is walking in the Spirit, remember that the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And after that, they were filled with power, and their lives were an unmistakable testimony of who they believed in and who they had chosen to serve. And so it also should be for us. And then in verse 22, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, then thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." It's very significant that he gives this verse here following the Pentecost, because that was the time of harvest. And he was reminding them there that for the strangers, for the poor, for the widows, that there was going to be food for them to eat. And I think it simply is telling us that our fruitful life is to bless others. And Jesus there in John chapter 7, when he was speaking there on that feast day, and he said there that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. And so as we are fruitful, as our lives bear fruit for the Lord, as our testimony goes out, we should be blessing those around us. There should be something there for the poor, for the widows, for the orphans, and those who are less fortunate. And as we think about the world in which we live, you know, how poor they are without Christ. They have no hope. They need your testimony. They need my testimony. Our lights need to shine so that they have somewhere to come, so they can glean something that's going to help them also to be able to come into a life of fruitfulness and to know Christ and to be blessed. And so just by this little illustration here of the feast days and how they connect the first four feasts, the day of first fruits, which is the first fruits, and then the day of Pentecost, which is the major harvest, and how that, God, through what was done on the cross there at Passover, and by our life, as we live a life of holiness, as the Feast of Unleavened Bread would portray, that our lives are pure and holy before the Lord, our testimony is clear, our life is fruitful, that those around us can be blessed and that God can be glorified. You know, is my life something that I'm not ashamed to display before the people for the testimony of Christ? Not for my own glory, but for his glory. If we read there in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it's many of those things are about blessing other people. And as the Spirit works in our lives, what it produces. And so may God help us to that end, to truly be first fruits of his creatures. Shall we kneel in prayer?